Biri dolacı yüküyordu, medeni biçinde kavada
tümadı. Dolacı bedosu gönlendir, gidi geldindir demiş o sahi. Beyi çocuğu medortama, bir ol için
gidiyorsun kavandı.
Sahi yedi ümmeti ve vahiy. Dokunanda cilacı varmış o idama gurur adama. Dolada niyanda yami.
Sanji
chida doji chonama shaju bado dame shasuji dage chujunji be sonamji dola pishi sanji rubarisho
sanji
chida doji chonama shaju bado dame shasuji dage chujunji be sonamji dola pishi sanji rubarisho
Sanji
chida doji chonama shaju bado dame shasuji dage chujunji be sonamji
dola pishi sanji rubarisho. Olası majadan ki tadayın bir sinir tamci yetendi. Pozalan ama payanda fazla bir sanjiyi kumbarım bir kendisi tabaşağı. Te tabaşağı çedo. Tabi çiğerim bir seyni bir konu sanjiyi semki. Sey sembe konu sembrikyo.
We should strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. It's for that reason we should cultivate the altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation, and with that kind of motivation we should all participate in this teaching.
Ani tak dungi kerangi cima tu, ata ante negap dawat sama tu, ini pe tak negap dawat yang ante ada kasih guru tak kiki kiki nincur ni, ini dungi kongol nincur ni, lu cakap rawas.
As we reflect on our own predicament, our meaning all sentient beings who are caught up in samsara or cyclic existence, down to the smallest insects, we all experience different forms of levels of pain and problem. We experience some temporary happiness or pleasures, but in reality, the kind of happiness and pleasures that we experience are what call are problematic in that they change into pain or suffering, because the kind of happiness that we or the pleasures we have, they change from moment to moment, and they change into you know, pain and unpleasurable feelings. So it is in that sense that all of us you know, who are caught up in samsara or cyclical existence, our life is basically characterized by pain and problems.
That is so, Johnny. Then, that COVID issue, treatment, any treatment, any treatment, those are the treatment that we do so far. Is COVID any COVID symptom? Is there? Any around so COVID symptom? Those are the those daily. Any until any the NASA do that the NASA can learn about. Any during maybe any kind of any way, Amara, what thing is it? What is it? What is it?
So what I've just said is what you know, we you know, hear from realized and holy beings, realized holy beings who have truly realized the suffering nature of samsara or cyclic existence, or the predicament that we are all caught up with. And so they, you know, communicate to us, you know, the suffering nature of samsara by using different examples or metaphors. And one of the you know, metaphors that they have used is that being in samsara is like sitting on, you know, very sharp-pointed needles. So imagine sitting on sharp-pointed needles. Well, every moment is going to be pain because we get hurt. There isn't any moment where we can say, okay, I just feel comfortable sitting on the, you know, the sharp-pointed needles. And so in the same way, the samsara is such that, you know, every moment, in a sense, there's something, I mean, we are caught up in pains and problems.
And it comes and deal with the chibu, or condition in pet, I hear who say. And then they do what I think Kadina Sangur was, treating some Germans. Kare Sena, and then Haranzo, Koye Dungeti, Dunga Rapatan Zumato, Dungi, Tavatan Zumato, Dungi, but Singulamas. They hear me enough, that can be Hamana Giri, a cocked him on 2000 Devakim, Dinakimato, and then tell I did. Deva Jumi Nika Mavada Chagnaris.
Now we may come back and you know, kind of how you say critique what this you know, holy beings have got to say. We said no, that's not you know, true, because there are, you know, moments of you know, pleasures and relaxation and, you know, good time in samsara. So what they say is not really true. Well, let's take a moment and just try to understand what they really mean by you know, their statement. You know, when we look at our experience of you know, suffering and our knowledge and understanding of suffering, they are very limited to particular you know, forms of suffering. We have access to what we call sufferings and problems that that exist in manifest form. You know, we, you know, and these manifest forms of sufferings are what we call coarse level suffering. They are not subtle. They are on a coarse level. So we do understand them, but we do not understand or realize subtle form of suffering. And if we understand subtle form of suffering, pains and problems, then we will really agree with what the holy masters or the realized beings have just said, that being in samsara is, you know, like sitting on an upright, you know, sharp-pointed needles, which is always uncomfortable and painful.
Dungi devan zimbi lokhitans. Ranzo ki dungi devan zinyata. Dungi le dungi pa mihiya karis na lokbe heba ngunti chun ti wang sing karis.
So, you know, what's happening with us is that we have, you know, many types of wrong views or wrong perceptions, misperceptions in us. And one of the major misperceptions or the wrong perceptions that we have in Tibetan called lokshe, a perverted perception, is to see or regard that which is, you know, suffering or pain as pleasurable. So we have that kind of wrong perception in us that we really do not see certain forms of suffering as suffering, but as pleasurable. And that's why, you know, our understanding and knowledge and experience of suffering are limited.
Saya tak boleh kandi jadi dewi nak, kau tak boleh imbu dahaku umum tuas. Ane saya sama tak boleh kari sebab nak tangsu ke cebat tu, kau hinggu amal tu mihi a kari nak orang sempit hebat tu tu ni, dia wang sih tuas.
Yeah, just let me give you an example to illustrate my point. Let's think of someone who has gone completely crazy or lunatic. And so this person could be sitting in the, very dirty place, but he could still be thinking that he is in a, nice place or a clean place, because he has lost his mind, as we would say, to be able to differentiate between, what is dirty and what is clean. And he could be eating that is very filthy, but he might just enjoy it and think that's just a nice food. Okay? Because he has lost the mind to be able to differentiate between, that which is dirt, dirty and clean.
So the Tahana Yikete, Chanasu Hakurubas, Pena the Zemesang it. Ani pe Tubizani setting can tell you a tina, Ani pe Nanga Tubiz on the Tinita, Ani Sigwat Zule pe. Do to your Yanza Helen will be singing the Andrea Marti, doing now a canny. The big Shabby sing to us. Then the setting can do it, the dancing of three cities and any Susie gave a Palangi, the three cigarette, now a Shabby sing to us. That's a tickle, same thing, 2 years.
And let me give you another example. Maybe you might be able to relate to better, and as a matter of fact, you understand these cases better than I do. People who take drugs, drugs not in the sense of medicine, but drugs as in grass and, illegal drugs. So they could be dancing on the floor or the ground, but the feeling that have so high as if they're dancing up in the sky or space somewhere. And they have all these kind of weird experiences of just kind of flying in the sky or climbing up the wall without need of any equipment, and all these appearances happening. Basically, why? Because their mind is influenced by the drugs, and so when the mind is not in a normal state, and mind is it is confused, and the minds get distorted. All the distorted perceptions take place.
That indeed, and that physical,
So if ordinary substance like the illegal drugs, could really have so much negative, effect on our state of mind and perceptions, that we get very delusional and get distorted perceptions, then, it would be much more intense when we think of how our mind is distorted by, our perceptions are distorted by delusions or afflictive emotions. So as a matter of fact, the intensity of the impact of delusions on our perception is much greater than the impact of ordinary substance or drugs on our perceptions. So the point I'm trying to make here through all these examples and the explanation I'm giving here is how we as ordinary people or individuals really do not understand, what suffering really is. We don't understand suffering in ins and outs of suffering. We just have limited knowledge of suffering.
No, Dungi na tsofa nyuya tete, sosil minde kuri karegi ina tati, jusa ti, ati tan nyomo ki oma ki nyomo pi, nyomo kali yungu yaris, nyomo pi oma ki ani, lesan ti wang yungu yaris.
So we need to make efforts to understand, realize the extent or the scope of suffering in samsara or cyclical existence. What does suffering really mean? We only experience one level of suffering, which is the manifest form of suffering or the coarse level of suffering, but we really don't understand the subtle form of suffering. And then the next thing we really need to understand is it doesn't matter what kind of pain or problem suffering we experience, tiny continuing bits of suffering, or like, great suffering or pains, all of them, arise from deluded states of mind. And how is that, if you ask, is, we are, motivated by the delusions within ourselves, or at least the delusions undergird our mental processes and the thoughts, and then we engage in performance of actions of karma. So as you can see, with delusions and karmic actions together, working together, and the result of the outcome that we get is pain, problem, and suffering. But that's the kind of situation we find ourselves in. But what we really want, all of us, I think, is we want to, go from a happy state to another happy state, or we want to move from happy existence to happier existence.
So that it.
So again, to be able to go from happy to happier state, it doesn't happen just on its own, because nothing really comes without causes and conditions, and that's what we need to understand and accept.
So that Ranjili Yogi Pinata Divat Bamaj.
Now, when we make efforts, purify ourselves of negative karmas or negativities, by doing that, we are also creating positive actions or positive karmas.
Oh yeah. Hold on, Tracy. A long way. Can you listen?
No, no,
okay. Oh yeah. So that Maharaj Samalata Deva Chetati
So when we are able to get ourselves out of a problematic situation or a suffering situation, and we find ourselves in a happy, happy state or existence, then we are able to, help others to be able to do the same thing or get out of their suffering situation.
No, so that when you see that, run the devotee boy man, now you can say you get some of the time you devotee you act that run to any member to say go over it. So say until the top the rang say to the name of the shape over it.
As much as we as individuals do not want any kind of pain, problem, suffering, but want true peace and happiness, and we make efforts to get rid of suffering and to find peace and happiness, we also need to recognize that all sentient beings have the same wishes. So as far as in this wish, wish we have is a universal wish. Others also want to be free from suffering. They want true peace and happiness. And so it's very important for us to acknowledge, recognize, that both self and others are same in that we don't want suffering, but we want happiness. And so in our, in whatever ways we could help others to solve problems and to find happiness, we should try to do that, or at least we should wish, everybody else to be free from suffering and problem and find their happiness.
Yeah. 아니 라인 집어 대고 생기 게 이게 다지 아니 집어 대고 요 그래서 단 도시 말 좀 그래서
So what I just explained is, you know, what the Bodhisattvas, you know, always think about. They, you know, altruistically care for all other sentient beings so much that, you know, they do not seek any personal, you know, or selfish happiness. You know, in their prayers and aspirations, they say that, you know, I do not want to be happy just myself. You know, I would rather prefer all other sentient beings to find peace and happiness. And in the process of doing that, if I find my happiness, then that's fine. I'm happy, you know. So I want to be happy, in other words, together with all other, you know, sentient beings, not just me alone, to be in a happy land.
Okay. 다가는 게 자세히 생기시 미셔벌 다단 희지 다기 냠지스야가 근데 그네 센터 쇼키 못들기 셰지가 됐다 말았어거든 셰 터버셨다는 정글스
Of course, the kind of, you know, this benevolent attitudes that Bodhisattvas have, they, you know, just did not come out of blue. I mean, it's a result of, you know, mind training or mental development, if you will. And one of the things Bodhisattvas really follow in their action or practice is they always exchange self for others. No, they think about, yes, they exchange self for others, and which means that they develop the state of mind to cherish others more than themselves. That's what we mean by exchanging self for others. And there are techniques, meditational techniques to do that, and that's what we try to learn. And so we should also try to apply the technique to affect our state of mind so that we are able to move at least in that direction of cherishing others more than self.
That then dig gomba jing it sole and the cotton there is kind of us. Ye then around this. Ye any no na here no na around this. Those it that thing see the teaching with us.
So those who you know think along those lines which I just explained, so they really think about they always wish you know others to be happy. So through that, so they want to find their happiness. If others are happy, then I will be happy. If others get hurt or in a suffer. Then that also, you know, how to say, that also affects me. Then I can, you know, I also get hurt and I also suffer.
Tati, Shetani do see this and insurance of pay, him dojimato, some of you like to call you a maravas. That's some of you to town begin, around the alley, around families and some to towns, but not some congress.
But it's some towns,
money. Ye dena round this, ye la nun around nursia to Yoruba. A tati, Sitani pay, nursing son of Matamba Shin, Sitaka, Harangimbre, Asami, Yana, what did take you or the Yena? Social Pinto, you know, Kate, and those some Pambi Yena, Social Tilia, that's social in Yongimba, Social Nala, and then Namit is a family, Nala, some languages.
So what I just said is this, that those who train their mind in developing altruism, they always wish others to be happy, and through that, they also seek their happiness. So basically, their way of thinking is, if others are happy, then I will be happy. Then I'm going to be happy. If others are unhappy or suffer, then I will also suffer. But when I say those things, maybe at this point, like, you know, it might be kind of a kind of sort of thing like, okay, I understand that, but it's kind of fuzzy, you know, there's a fuzzy conceptual understanding, you know, fuzziness in the mind. Okay, what does that really mean? You know, it's in a sort of like a very conceptual level, and there's some kind of fuzziness involved. But to be able to really, how do you say, understand that kind of concept at a personal level, I think if we really consider the people we live, you know, together with, like as family members or friends, And then we relate these concepts to them, I think we will, the concepts get more concretized and they make more sense at our personal level. So what I'm trying to say is that thing of a family with, how should I say, two parents and, you know, children. And if one of the family members get really sick, well, that affects the whole family as a system. Because, you know, how can all other family members be happy when that one family member, you know, is not well? You know, how that affects the whole family system. You know, just say one of the family members is so short-tempered that often gets angry and mad and, you know, just throw all the tantrum. Well, that affects everybody living with that person, to all other family members.
So that then there's sometimes in rala pena yin pena yin pena rang pena yin nena rang neya kusamuti those the he talk what you done.
So that's where if we kind of bring it down to that kind of a level, at a personal level, then we will be able to relate to the concept, understand the concept better, that how, you know, we and others are interdependent, you know, what others do affect us positively and negatively, and what we do positively and negatively affects others. And the example I just gave is, if one of the family members just, you know, go crazy and angry, well, that's just one person, but that affects so much the whole family member. Or if somebody gets sick in the family, that's a whole family member. If everything is going well with everybody in the family member, then, you know, everybody's happy. So thinking along that line, what I really need to learn is that, okay, I should not be a troublemaker, you know, because if I do something in a system within a family or whatever the case may be, that's going to affect others, you know, not only make myself unhappy, but I'm going to make others unhappy as well. So the point I'm trying to drive home here is that we have you know, connection with all other sentient beings, and of course the sentient beings have got connection with us. And we have been, you know, each other's close friends. Of course, yes, we have been each other's enemies as well. But when we look over many lifetimes or rebirths that we have already taken, which we don't remember at all, so that's why we don't recognize each other as having that kind of close connection. Yes, we became each other's enemy before, but that was only occasionally. But, you know, we have become each other's best friends a lot more than, you know, each other's enemy in our previous lifetimes. So therefore, there is that kind of interdependence, that kind of interconnectedness between self and others. So that's why it's important for us to be able to regard all sentient beings as being equal in terms of relationship, and so that we can treat them equally. And that's why we often talk about training our mind to be able to treat all other sentient beings, meaning those who we regard as enemies, those we regard as strangers, of course as friends, as being equal. And so this is one of the things we try to do, that we have got the friendship with all sentient beings over many lifetimes, and therefore, if sentient beings are, seen as friends, then we could treat all of them as being equal. Because, there's nobody out there in sentient being who has never become our friend. So either we need to treat them equally as enemies, or equally as strangers, or equally as friends. Of course, the more positive way of thinking is, see them all as being friends, and treat them all as friends.
So
seeing each other, all sentient beings as being equal, has really almost nothing to do with being equal in terms of being rich. We're not saying that all sentient beings are equal in that they're all equally rich, somewhere at some point of time, or that they're equally beautiful and handsome, in this and that. No, we are not talking in those terms. And so when we train our minds to recognize all sentient beings as being equal, one of the things that we're really talking about is we should see how all sentient beings are equal in that we do not wish for pain and problems, but we all wish for peace and happiness. So we are equal in those terms. So once we really train our mind in understanding and, internalizing that kind of thinking, and then when we really gain experience in that kind of line of thinking, then we are not going to hurt any sentient being.
That never mishe ba tsa mayin pe ta yin ti tho ni yin la pemba dwe ya rang yin la pemba dwe ka ta sa ni ne ba ki shu chen bu ko yin go res.
Not only will we not hurt other sentient beings, but through that line of thinking and training our mind in that line of thinking and gaining experiences, we will actually find ourselves doing everything we could to help and benefit others.
That condition, you know, they like you can be saying it and those in the you want to turn behind the only some of the hinges here, they love this.
So once we really, our state of mind is more trained along that line of thinking, that we try to help as much as we can all other sentient beings, then I think it becomes, as that kind of thinking gets more stronger and intense, then it becomes much easier in a sense for us to cultivate a great love and great compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So as I often do, on Sunday teachings, that this is like my prelude to, returning to the text, that I say these things with intention that those who already know about this stuff or things, then it serves as a reminder for us. But others who are new to this, then you've got some new ideas to consider and to think about. Those who already know about the things that I've just talked about, I think it's very important to remind them over and again about these ideas and the matters. So if you don't recollect and reflect on these matters over and again, then we could easily lose them someday.
So sengen la pende dhugo ya tunzu dhusin ni rangka ya dhusin ta sanu tang ni ta te magi ya tab kari ya resin tab san pang resin.
So as we engage in the study of Dharma and, you know, we learn about how we should care for other sentient beings and all such things, then I think we also need to consider, you know, what are the practices or the methods available for us to be able to, you know, to be able to remember them, you know, in our life.
Tati. Leleon de Massamba said, Timbi the topji, Yanni and the Tehete and Yanni the Tembashe, that the Tetu Medina, that Matabala Song Congress.
So one of the ways to do that is that we cultivate mindfulness so that we are being mindful of all the things we have learned and all the things we need to put into practice. And so where we need the help of enthusiastic perseverance, Chindu, enthusiastic effort to recollect all these spiritual ideas and the applications of these ideas. But if somewhere, you know, our mindfulness is is not working, you know, for whatever reasons or factors, we get lazy for some reason, then I think another way to do that is we have to reflect on impermanence of life and things, how things are transitory in nature. You know, death is sure to come to all of us. You know, we don't have to have any slightest doubt about that, because, you know, that happens to everybody. Death comes to everybody, and there's no way we can prevent death. You know, we can't. We haven't found any methods to prevent death. I mean, so when we think about, you know, death and impermanence of life, that becomes a very powerful reminder to pursue spirituality.
That runs up in the Diva Megili Savina, that she goes, she does a titty when a Tadon Tessim Shane, Yel never shave the kicker, Pingma, Pembam Mazi, and a tattle rank of it, never chimbuki, rank calling Guyaros.
So when we consider, you know, death, and then think about, you know, all the negativities, you know, we have done or we do, you know, out of attachment, out of anger, out of jealousy, out of any other form of delusion, to others. Not only that, these negativities and delusions don't help us at death and dying and after, but they all the more hurt us, or they will bring negative consequences to us.
No, sir. Ale tadi lelo sin tawa yung mundo kasi ano sa mga logo de tenhi tene ati kasi kung ta chow matapat dusi ansa sa tembi na ang ano chow dual kanto kimbo yoris.
So laziness is one of the major obstacles we all face in our everyday life. And in order to counteract laziness, we should generate mindfulness of death and dying and impermanence of life and things.
Kyo ma jebe se dosi nye dewe na, ta xini xegri, ta kati xemi chato umari, ane lansan xemi ntikara xegu sanam tari, tenyaka yungre sta, sanam yabotan na.
So when we train our mind along that line, you know, we consider the death and dying and impermanence of life and things, as our mind gets accustomed to or familiarized with such a line of thinking, then, you know, they sometimes, you know, the mindfulness of death and dying could automatically at times operate on its own. on within us. Let's say we are thinking of like, okay, I'm going to take a long nap today. And then all of a sudden, the mindfulness of impermanence arises in our mind and says, you know what, I just can't waste my time like that. Because really, I don't know, you know, how long this life is going to last. I mean, I could die any time. And so if I die without, you know, without Dharma or spirituality or without positive virtues, then it would be a terrible thing. And so in that way, the mindfulness kicks in, and then we, you know, take the opportunity to do practice. But I will admit that I also like to take nap, you know. So the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, we should not let ourselves be influenced by laziness, but rather we should kind of inspire ourselves to pursue virtue, and by way of cultivating mindfulness of impermanence of life and things, and of course, if we think of taking a long nap, just, you know, just think of impermanence of life, and maybe we can, find opportunity to do practice. Of course, there are other ways to make the sleep into positive and virtue, because sleeping doesn't have to be negative in a sense. Anyway, we don't have time to talk about this today, so yeah. Another time. And now we will return to our wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices, and we will continue from last week. So the sections we have been you know, dealing with for a couple of weeks, of course, this is addressed directly to monk practitioners who are at monastery or in solitude. Here the great Indian master Adisha tells us that tell them, and which means tell us through them, is that even if you stay at a monastery or in a solitude as monks and nuns, if you do not give up seeking sensual pleasures, the pleasures of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch and all that, then the Dharma is not going to be beneficial. If being in a monastery on a solitude, if one still aspires or seeks all the sensual pleasures of sight, smell, sound, and all that, then what does really the Dharma practice mean? You know, the Dharma does not benefit here.
Tagana yigita, pina radishwa menaya, aneta ki choga de chimi kandi yinaya ta, pina susi cham deni.
So, I mean, this could also relate to any kind of practitioner. Let's say talk about the lay practitioners who are in like a retreat situation, who are in the mountains or the caves or the houses, wherever you do the retreat. But being in a retreat situation, if you still, you know, don't give up, you know, seeking the sensual pleasures of sight, sound, smell, and all that, then what's the point of doing retreat? What's the point of Dharma practice? Because the Dharma is not really happy. nothing here, because basically your mind is seeking all the ordinary the sensual pleasures.
So
when we let that thing happen, it's not that Dharma or spirituality is now useless or ineffective. It's just that we have not applied Dharma or spirituality effectively to our state of mind or we use it properly. So if we let ourselves seek sensual pleasures, then even we think that okay, I'm also doing some Dharma practice, then in reality what we are doing is not a Dharma, and so Dharma is not benefiting in this case.
No. That 쟤는 니가 만약 같이샤 냠나 오래 딱 가지 그냥 쳐들자니 쳐야 그 쟤디야 샤야도 마셔버시 쟤디 안에 내가 그 샤바타 마셔버시 니가 년도 소식이 있었네 답을 삼키 여러 번.
And then the great Adisha goes on to say that, if you are one of those who think along this line that I want both the spiritual and the world, the worldly matters to, go along well. In other words, that I want, I want to do both. I want both things work for me. I want the worldly things work for me and I want the Dharma to work for me. So I want to keep both things rolling. So when one adopts that kind of attitude, then what happens is that now Dharma has become a side thing. It has become a secondary. So if we think along the line that I want both the worldly things and the spiritual things, work for me, I want to keep both things rolling or working together, according to great Adisha, in that case, we have not made the Dharma priority. And as a matter of fact, Dharma has become a side thing. It has become secondary. So in that situation, so our practice of Dharma could easily become very superficial and, he has said, kaju means it's become a mouth practice. It's something to talk about, it's something to mouth, mouthing Dharma, And it has become sacha means it could have become like just a means of livelihood, to earn one's livelihood or to get some name or whatever the case may be. So it becomes a livelihood Dharma. And it becomes chuja. You become just a hypocrite. Because it looks nice to adopt the Dharma appearance. So everybody thinks like, how nice, you're a Dharma person. And you kind of feel like that, or we kind of feel like that. But in reality, we just become a hypocrite because we are really not treating Dharma as a priority. It is a side thing, because it's just one of those things we want to keep going, on the side. So now what we should do in today's time that we need to work to support our life, and then we're also we're trying to do Dharma. So what do we do now?
Yes. 개척인데 다치 진디다 쇼시마니 쇼시마 개척지 아니 진디 사이가던 쇼시미 사이가 큐드에니 뭐지 큐드에서 개척지 나 두세 거지.
So in the situation we find ourselves in, we meaning most of us, that we need to work in order to support our life, pay the bills, and we also want to you know, practice Dharma. So can't we do both now? Or are we precarious situation or the depiction that Aditya has made here? Well, the thing to remember here is, yes, realistically we got to work. You know, we got to do the things we need to do for life. But you know, in our mind, you know, if we treat Dharma as important and priority, okay, and keep that in mind that, if this is a matter of like, you know, which is more important thing to do, Dharma or worldly thing, Dharma is more important. Which is more important, this life or the betterment of the future lives, the betterment of the future lives is more important. If we consider Dharma as priority and more important along those lines, then I think it's all right that we could do both. Work and practice Dharma.
Teda ta, lega chidu zani ta lega tiya chidu zani ta kulon ra ra lega. So kulon te yawa tangbi na suzu lega chia tu chio chawal doya chigi suzu yers.
And also, I mean, much of the things depends upon cultivating spiritual motivation or proper motivation. I mean, we couldn't go to work or school. But if our motivation, is corrected, if we do it with proper motivation, you say, then our work and our school could, become, what we do, working and, going to school could also accord with our Dharma practice.
That's what I'm saying. When I choose to go to the church, I'm going to go to the church.
Okay, let me put it this way. Let's say in the case of family with children, when you shift your line of thinking from self to the others, you said, okay, I need to go to work because if I don't work, then my whole basis for practicing Dharma is gone, so I can't practice. Moreover, I have children to support, so these are others, these are not self, so I really need to love them and care for them. So what I'm really doing is going to work is not really so much for myself, but I'm doing it in order to be able to have material support to practice Dharma and to benefit my children, these others. Then I think, going to work becomes spiritual activity in a sense.
That rank, sendal rank, chudu ya ta legacy ya. Somalo yendo di yisamay yendo yendo no hogo ta masya.
So the point I'm trying to make here is when we go to work or go to school or what other things we need to do, if we shift the focus from self-interest to others' interest, or say that I need to do what I need to do so that I can pay the bills, so that I can find opportunities to practice Dharma, so that I can support my children or the other family members or other people, I think our work and school become part of our spiritual practice. If we know how to practice Dharma, then everything basically we do could become a part of Dharma practice. And if we know how to do the thinking along the Dharma line, cooking, eating, and walking, all the things can activities, ordinary, so-called ordinary activities, could become part of our spiritual activity or practice.
That medication is the capacity the social medication can do that mistake which day you are
no
that I mean can't leave mom but you did that's some of the guys are my impact the ten is associated with Zuba Yabu, you know, kid, real kid, and as a way, you know, the thing or kid, the Tamangan Droga, the Mesagua, the Min Yoga, the Samalo, and Chilson Raji, and she did other of us.
So it's like, as you say, I mean, we need to take everything in terms of, okay, in order for me to be able to practice Dharma to benefit others, I've got to have a healthy life. So therefore, as a part of that, reality is I need to work and I need to buy the health insurance, okay? And when I get sick, I need to go and see doctors because that's the only way I get well, regain my health to be able to practice Dharma and to be able to benefit others. So taking medication could also be part of our spiritual practice. And so the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, if we know how to practice Dharma, you know, basically almost every activity, ordinary activity that we perform could be at least aligned, you know, towards Dharma principles.
That the lessons are socially.
So where does it all begin? It all begins with Dharma education. So because first things first, we need to learn about, you know, all these things and how to, what is Dharma, how to practice Dharma, and so on.
Tantika ani hosu mangbo se gu gu men pe to so si de ni gom ran je de kyu yen na ani sanje chom de de chu ji de tong ka nang ma ros.
So if we don't really need a sound, you know, Dharma education, just we could say, you know, easily begin doing practice, just sit in a, some kind of meditational posture and just, you know, start the practice right away, then there was no need for Shakyamuni Buddha to teach 84,000 discourses. And he, I mean, he didn't need to have made so much effort to do that. You know, if, you know, just only reciting a certain mantra or incantation is enough to become a Buddha or get enlightened, well, then there was absolutely no need for Buddha to have gone through all the land, giving all kinds of teaching. You know, he could have just said one mantra and we could have recited it and that would be, you know, that would be sufficient. But it doesn't work that way. Buddha gave so much teachings in order to show us, you know, the importance of Dharma education and the things to learn about the spiritual world and our state of mind and how to transform them and so on.
Sanjay Kamdin de Ranke Kanna, Tahana, you can Daha Kebazo, Tahana, Purgalama Kebazo Kanna, Sanjay Kamdin de Java Junior, Nan Kazuki, but Java Junior Nani, and the song that Java Kyojo is Kanna.
Recently, I briefly discussed the 12 principal or main deeds of Shakyamuni Buddha. And of them all, the most important deed of a Buddha is his giving teachings. And this has been confirmed by Buddha himself as well as by many great Indian you know, commentators of Buddha's teachings.
Sonja, today in the chat,
you know, Buddha went at length to give us all kinds of teachings, and all his teachings have been put together in a collection called Three Baskets of Teaching, or in Sanskrit called Tripitika, or Tenersum in Tibetan. So in these three baskets of teaching, you know, basket of discourse, basket of ethical discipline, and basket of knowledge and wisdom, Buddha has explained in details the three higher trainings, namely training in higher ethics, training in higher concentration, and training in higher wisdom. So these three higher trainings are the substance or the contents of the three baskets, and there's so much to learn about them, and there's so many things that we need to learn about to be able to cultivate the three higher trainings. So the point I just made is that of all the deeds of an enlightened being, such as Shakyamuni Buddha, the most important deed is the deed of teaching Dharma, or turning the wheel of Dharma. Why? Because it's through teaching Dharma that Buddha is able to communicate to the sentient beings how to cultivate their spirituality, and so as sentient beings learn about and cultivate spirituality, then they are able to liberate themselves from suffering and find happiness. So in that regard, Buddha's teaching is the most important deed.
So
In some simple sense, we say that, don't hurt, Buddha said don't hurt others, because hurting others is a negativity, but benefit others, because benefiting others is a positive action. Well, he couldn't have just stopped saying those two things, because Buddha needed to talk about, what does hurting mean, what does negativity mean, and how do we create negativity, what types of negativity are there, what are the outcomes of doing negativities, and similar things with how to do the positive thing, what are the positive actions, and all this, there's a whole world that needs to be explained, and that's why Buddha gave extensive teachings. There's a great purpose and reason behind Buddha's giving extensive and profound teachings. For example, all of us are at what we call beginner's level. So we are, so to speak, on the ground zero. We need a starting point. And so we want to become enlightened beings of Buddha. So, and then Buddha has to explain the complete structure of the path to us. So how should you begin your study and practice? Then what are the paths and spiritual levels of the grounds that we need to cultivate, that we can progress along with? And so on these paths and grounds, what are the things we need to abandon, and how to abandon those things? What are the things we need to cultivate and adopt? So all this whole world is there to be explained, in order for an individual practitioner to go from the level of ordinary being to that of being an enlightened being. So that's why Buddha needed to explain everything that's involved from going from the ordinary, from the beginner's level to the complete enlightened stage.
So
all these things Buddha needed explain, because otherwise we on our own cannot understand everything, because nobody has the ability to understand, okay, the complete structure of the path and how to become Buddha without the need, without help or need help or the teaching of the Buddha. We don't have that ability, to ourselves. So we need to rely upon Buddha's teaching to understand the complete structure of the path to enlightened state. Now, I mean, even like, you know, keep the whole complete structure of the path, on the side. Let's talk about, you know, becoming a Buddhist, practitioner or Buddhist. Well, Buddha has to explain, how does one become a Buddhist? So basically, one needs to take refuge in the three jewels. So then what are the three jewels? And all the qualities of the three jewels, what is involved in the refuge practice, and what's the commitment involved? And all these things need to be explained, otherwise an individual has no capacity on his own or her own to understand all these matters.
Who's this?
Debra.
Gosh. Okay. Pra, what are the
Debra
said? What are the Debra said?
No.
So, that, you know, that tea is And it's not more like Zubu media, you get that, and you might be a shinky, my wish, you are thinking you're not saying you might be a re. On top, he's saying that was a pain, you see, at that point. I made a street ballad, eh? Michi Wizzy Shindua. Is that to do some other payaka? I don't know how to think. Madam Titanis, to do any Shigate Zerte, she was on with a layata, and the chair tear at the Telegram Manipulation, and it was the money to turn his.
We'll stop there, and we will, do together some prayers. For example, a prayer has been requested for Debra. I think that's the name I heard. I hope that's the right one I'm saying. If not, somebody who knows the name should say it there. And I think she probably was an accident, and so we want to pray that she recovers soon from the accident hurt. And then also, there are many beings and peoples who suffer from all kinds of tragedies and sicknesses, and especially when we think of the Middle East, what is going along there, hundreds and people have lost their lives, and so we want to send our prayers and thoughts to all of them, so that those who are sick may they recover from sickness quickly, and those who have lost their lives may they find good rebirths and find their spirituality. So let's, with the, keeping all of them in our mind and thoughts, let's do the six-syllable mantra of Buddha of Compassion.
Oh, my name is Mother.
Ona da tren an tren ki o ki tren son duz peşe yani ngaraz tütni şebi gey zavla teni en sanji tembaru mete de jüyür de ne bakıyor ne jawi yine bir şebi teni şebi tamam hiç kuzi şebi tembar da tu yine de tamam bir duyu var. Çocuğun gün şu opumanı şimdi şavına itin dönü batam. Gidince kamda da yeni mütübü gülsü ne, ne, da ne yamtan. Hani muhiyetan, mançula subatını muhiyak. Hani künçü ile sota da ve mislundu yamakyo.
I appreciate all of you coming to the teaching this morning, and together we have accumulated collective positive energy or marriage. We dedicate our marriage for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May Dharma, the source of benefit and happiness, flourish throughout the universe. May all practitioners from all faiths and traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems such as sicknesses, starvation, war, destructions, and warfares. And may all beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.